听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 6, The Computer, A Necessary Evil. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Process. 2. Program. 3. Laptop. 4. Electronic mail, email. 5. Keyboard. 6. Internet. 7. World Wide Web. 8. Browser. 9. Silicon chip. 10. Integrated circuit.
B. You are going to hear a short passage about the different sizes of computers. Write down every word as a dictation. It will be read 3 times. First reading, read from beginning to end. Second reading, read with pauses. Third reading, read without pauses again. You may find the following words hard to spell. Mainframe computer. Microprocessor.
Computers come in a wide range of sizes. A mainframe computer system may fill a large room. A personal computer fits on a desktop. The tiniest computers consist of a microprocessor, a chip that fits through the eye of a needle. Computers come in a wide range of sizes. A mainframe computer system may fill a large room. A personal computer fits on a desktop. The tiniest computers consist of a microprocessor, a chip that fits through the eye of a needle. Computers come in a wide range of sizes. A mainframe computer system may fill a large room. A personal computer fits on a desktop. The tiniest computers consist of a microprocessor, a chip that fits through the eye of a needle.
C. You are going to hear the first part of a conversation between a school headmaster and the chairman of the board of directors of the school. They are arguing about the plan for buying a computer for the school. Write down all the pros and cons.
Good evening.
Hello.
I wonder if you'd spare me a few minutes. I have something really important to discuss with you.
Okay, but not too long. Only 10 minutes.
We're hoping to buy a computer for our school.
A computer?
Yes, but they're rather pricey, though. A reasonable one, anyway.
What do we want a computer for? Wouldn't it be better to spend the money on more books, sports equipment, and educational visits? Computers are just like Space Invader machines, aren't they? Just electronic games. What's the point of letting children waste their school time on things like that? They won't learn anything.
Oh, they won't be playing many games on it. It's going to be used for storing school information, lists of textbooks, and details of educational equipment. Teachers spend a lot of time looking through catalogs and hunting in filing cabinets. If it's all stored on a computer, they can find what they want in minutes. And apart from that, the children can work out their own computer programs, which will stimulate their interest in math and help them to understand the subject better. Computer studies are getting very popular in the secondary schools and colleges, you know.
Well, that's very reassuring.
Part 2. Airlines are wiring up for travelers. A. You are going to hear a report on the use of laptop computers in planes. First, listen to the topic sentences. Fill in the blanks while listening.
1. 10 years ago, it was unusual to see people in a plane working on laptop computers. Now they are everywhere. 2. It all started when they began to have a consistent policy about the use of laptops during flight. 3. Then came the onboard phone. 4. Finally, airlines are starting to offer in-seat power sources for notebooks. 5. Pre- and post-flight facilities at airports have been trying to keep pace. 6. New aircraft will all have a modem point and telephone at every seat, and phones will get onboard satellite links.
B. Now listen to the whole report. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, decide whether the statements are true or false. Put T or F in the brackets.
10 years ago, it was unusual to see people in a plane working on laptop computers. Now they are everywhere, along with the odd few making phone calls, sending faxes, checking email, and even surfing the World Wide Web. As soon as the announcement is made that passengers may begin use of their electronic devices, the lids of dozens of notebooks creak open and fingers start flying over keyboards in a last-minute rush to complete all the work that should have been done before leaving for the airport. For the airlines, it has been a gradual process. It all started when they began to have a consistent policy about the use of laptops during flight, something which many airlines initially regarded with suspicion, following scare stories about strong electromagnetic radiation from early laptop systems. It soon became clear that this was not a major worry, and laptops, initially in the form of modest systems, were not allowed to be used when the plane is taking off. Then came the onboard phone, which first allowed passengers to make those urgent, last-minute calls to the office, and later allowed full data communications to fax machines, corporate computer networks, and the internet. Finally, airlines are starting to offer in-seat power sources for notebooks so passengers don't find themselves running out of battery power in mid-flight. Meanwhile, pre- and post-flight facilities at airports have been trying to keep pace. Business centers have sprung up at airports all over the world, offering services for notebook users and, recently, even net-connected terminals with built-in web browsers. New aircraft will all have a modem point and telephone at every seat, and phones will get onboard satellite links. People will be able to write their reports and email using the modem point, then connect to the telephone to send data. The changes involving fitting the modem links, telephone handsets, and modifying seats are expected to cost in the region of £750,000 per aircraft.
C. Now listen to the report again and correct all the false statements in Activity B. Part 3. Techno Chat. A. You are going to hear Tom and Jason talking about internet and techno chat. While listening for the first time, add more keywords in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the questions in no more than 5 words or numbers.
Hi, Tom. Have you entered the internet?
Absolutely. The internet is by far the greatest and most significant achievement in the history of mankind.
What? Do you mean the internet is more impressive than the pyramids? More important to mankind than the wondrous inventions of the Industrial Revolution?
Yes, yes, and yes.
I can't believe that.
And I don't expect you to believe this. Not right now, anyway. After all, the internet is just a computer network. Its beauty and utility lie in the information. The internet allows millions of people all over the world to communicate and to share.
How is it possible?
You communicate by either sending and receiving electronic mail, or by establishing a connection to someone else's computer and typing messages back and forth. You share by participating in discussion groups and by using the many programs and information sources that are available for free.
Does this mean that the internet resources will become as important to you as your telephone and your post office?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. By the way, there are a lot of techno chat programs on the internet. They are fantastic, and my matchmaker is one of the computer nets.
You mean you and Linda?
Of course.
So how did you meet Linda?
I met her through a computer bulletin board.
Oh, really? What bulletin board?
It was one I used down at the local coffee house called the San Francisco Net. It's been around since about 1991.
I've heard about that, but I've never tried it.
You ought to. $1 buys 15 minutes of computer time. A chat session links you with cappuccino sippers in other cafes and at home computers on the network.
I have no desire to talk on a network with a bunch of strangers.
That's the whole point. All your inhibitions disappear because you can't see the other person. This network allows you to talk to people whom you normally wouldn't talk to.
I just want a private conversation with one other person.
You can do that. A private session lets two talk alone. This techno chat program lets you talk with about anything with everyone, without prejudice because you can't see them.
Well, maybe I'll tag along and watch how you talk.
That's fine with me, but we'll have to get there early, because after 8 p.m., there's always a long waiting line.
It's that popular?
Welcome to the 90s.
Okay. We're there tonight. So what does it cost?
$1 buys 15 minutes of computer time. This talk ain't cheap.
I don't know. I feel funny talking through a computer.
Remember, that's how I met Linda. I guarantee you can talk to girls who would never talk to you if they saw your face.
What's that supposed to mean?
Look in the mirror, man.
B. Now listen to the conversation again. Complete the following summary about internet and techno chat programs by writing in the missing words with the help of the above notes and answers. Part 4. More about the topic, computer technology and individual privacy. The following short passage is about how individual privacy is affected by modern computer technology. Supply the missing words while listening.
Most people agree that modern computer technology is a very successful way to gather information. Information that used to take weeks or months to find can now be found in a few minutes, or at most a few hours, using a computer. Yet, computer experts say that this technology has developed so fast that present laws do not protect some basic rights.
Now there is concern about the extent that computers are being used to gather private information about individuals. The following story will help explain. The person is not real, but the story shows what kind of information can be gathered. Our story is about a young man named John. John works for a large business.
John likes his job. He enjoys his work. He likes the other people in his office. And he thinks he receives fair pay. John just found out that his company has gathered information about him. He discovered that company officials have all his medical records for the past 10 years. They also know all the places John has ever lived. They know what investments he has made. They even know he was arrested when he was only 18 years old. The arrest was a mistake, and the charges against him were dismissed. But the record of his arrest still exists.
John also discovered the company has gathered information about his wife and children. It has his driving record, his financial records, and tax records. It also has a list of all the telephone calls John has made for the past year. In fact, John discovered that the company has more information about him than John has about himself. John was shocked.
John protested to his supervisor. The supervisor understood how John felt, but he said that gathering such information is legal, and there was really nothing John could do.
That story is not really true. However, it happens to people like John every day. Many large companies now gather information about their workers. Many companies now record all telephone calls made by their workers. Company officials want to know if the worker is using the telephone only for company business. They also record what information or programs the worker has in his or her computer. If the worker sends and receives electronic mail, the company may want copies. The companies say they want to know if a worker is using costly computer equipment for other than company business. Companies say they are not spying on their workers. They say they are making sure their workers are honest. The question is, does a company have the right to seek this kind of information? Some experts say knowledge is the best protection of privacy. They say people must learn what kind of information can be gathered legally, and they must develop ways to best protect themselves against the illegal invasion of their privacy.
Part 5. Memory Test. Who invented the first computer? A. You are going to hear a short passage about the history of computers. First, get familiar with the following names. Alan Turing, Blaise Pascal, Charles Babbage, Gottfried von Leibniz. B. Now listen to the passage. While you listen, don't forget to add more key words in the notes column. After listening, write down briefly what happened in each year listed below with the help of the notes.
A computer is a machine that not only works out and computes things, but it can also remember what it has done. The earliest form of computer was being used over 2,000 years ago, and even today is still being used in some eastern countries. It is the simple abacus that you may have used when you were in infant school. A real development in computers came in 1642, when Blaise Pascal invented the first adding machine. 29 years later, Gottfried von Leibniz developed a calculator that could both multiply and divide. The world's first working computer, the analytical engine, was designed by Charles Babbage in 1834. Babbage believed that his machine could be programmed or taught to do mathematical tasks, but it was not until 1936 that his belief was proved correct by Alan Turing. Turing went on to develop a computer called Colossus. During the Second World War, Colossus was used to break enemy codes. By the end of the war, computers were developing quickly. In 1946, the world's first valve computer, ENIAC, was built. For a long time, however, computers were large and complicated machines that only governments and large companies could afford to operate. Then, in the 1960s, scientists developed the integrated circuit. From then on, circuit designs could be printed onto a small piece of silicon chip. Computers could become much smaller and cheaper, and thus available to everyone. Today they are commonplace in business, schools, and home.
C. You are going to hear a monologue about computer systems. Listen carefully and complete the following chart.
A typical computer system consists of a central processing unit, CPU, input devices, storage devices, and output devices. The CPU consists of an arithmetic logic unit, registers, control section, and internal bus. The arithmetic logic unit carries out arithmetical and logical operations. The registers store data and keep track of operations. The control unit regulates and controls various operations. The internal bus connects the units of the CPU with each other and with external components of the system. For most computers, the principal input devices are a keyboard and a mouse. Some computers also have a light pen, a scanner, and a joystick. Storage devices include external floppy disk drives and internal memory boards. Output devices that display data include monitors and printers.